Chapter 11. The Convent at Béthune. In London, a few days later, Lord de Winter's servant gave him a letter. "I write as a friend from Paris. A woman who you believe is your relative plans to kill you. She's returning to England on a very dangerous mission. Don't let her succeed. The fleur de lis on her left shoulder will prove to you that she's already a guilty woman." Lord de Winter acted quickly, sending a young officer, John Felton, to meet Milady at the port. Felton took her straight to Lord de Winter's castle and kept her there as a prisoner. But it took Milady only 5 days to escape. She made Felton fall in love with her, telling the young officer that Lord de Winter was a bad man and that she was not guilty. Believing her promises of love, Felton agreed to kill the Duke of Buckingham, and Milady escaped to France. She followed the cardinal's orders and went straight to the convent at Béthune. There, she pretended to be the victim of one of the cardinal's plots and made the abbess feel sorry for her.
"Another poor woman here is also one of his victims," the abbess told her. "You'll meet her later, dear lady, but first you must rest."
Milady was shown to a room and lay down to sleep after her long journey. When she woke up, a beautiful, dark-haired young woman was standing by her bed.
"The abbess told me that you had arrived and might need a friend," said the young woman.
"Thank you, my dear," replied Milady sweetly. "Please stay with me a little while."
She had an idea who this young woman might be.
"The abbess said that you're another of the cardinal's victims," continued Milady's visitor. "If I wasn't leaving soon, I'm sure that we could be friends."
"You're leaving the convent?" cried Milady.
"Yes, I hope so. But, Lady de Winter, surely you're free to leave here if you want to."
"But where could I go without friends or money?" said Milady.
"I can't believe that you have no friends. You're so beautiful, and I'm sure that you're good too," said the young woman.
Milady smiled a sad, sweet smile. She had decided to test her idea.
"But the friends that I have, like Monsieur d'Artagnan, are frightened of the cardinal."
The young woman turned pale.
"You know Monsieur d'Artagnan?" she cried jealously. "How?"
"My brother-in-law introduced us," answered Milady. "And d'Artagnan is just a friend. But now I've realized who you are. You're Constance Bonacieux."
The young woman stared at the older woman in surprise.
"How do you know my name?" she asked.
"D'Artagnan told me everything about you. He loves you more than anything in the world, and I've found you, dear Constance."
Milady held out her arms to the poor young woman, who had no idea of the awful thoughts in Milady's mind.
"But very soon D'Artagnan will be here, and my troubles will be forgotten," said Madame Bonacieux.
Milady sat up.
"But isn't he at La Rochelle?" she asked.
Madame Bonacieux then made the terrible mistake of taking a letter out of her pocket and handing it to Milady.
"Read this," she said happily.
Milady immediately recognized Madame de Chevreuse's handwriting.
"My dearest Constance, get ready to leave. Your friend from Gascony is coming soon."
At that moment, they heard a horse galloping down the road.
"Could it be him already?"
cried Madame Bonacieux, running to the window. Milady began to shake with fear. Would she be able to escape her enemy?
No, sadly it's not him, Madame Bonacieux was saying. The man is stopping here, but I don't recognise him.
Milady jumped up from the bed.
It might be one of the cardinal's men who has come for either you or me, she cried.
Then the abbess knocked on the door.
A gentleman has asked to see the lady who has come from Calais, she said. He says that he has a message for you from the cardinal. Oh, dear, cried Madame Bonacieux. Something bad might happen to you.
Well, I must see him, and hopefully I'll see you again when he's gone, said Milady, now only pretending to be scared.
Downstairs, she was pleased to find Rochefort waiting for her. She told him about the success of her mission to London and her good luck at finding Madame Bonacieux at the convent.
It's lucky that I arrived today, because D'Artagnan is coming here soon to take her away, she told Rochefort. I must get her away from here before he arrives. Send a carriage here to collect us as soon as possible, and tell the abbess that it's to take me to the cardinal. I've told her that I'm one of his victims.
Where will I find you again? Asked Rochefort.
Let me think, said Milady. I know. Almonsieres. It's a little town not too far from here. I'll write down the name so that you don't forget it.
Milady handed him a paper with the name on, which Rochefort put inside his hat. While Madame Bonacieux was meeting her new friend, D'Artagnan and his three friends were on their journey north from Paris to Béthune. The French army had almost won the campaign at La Rochelle, and Monsieur de Tréville had given the four musketeers leave. When they reached Arras, they passed a man in a cloak galloping in the opposite direction towards Paris. As he flew past, something white fell from under his hat. D'Artagnan recognised him immediately. "That was the man from Meung!" he cried to his friends. He stopped his horse and stared after him. Suddenly, he noticed a paper on the ground and went to pick it up. When he opened it, he saw a single word, Armentières.
"This is Milady's handwriting," he told his friends. "It might help us in some way. Now, let's hurry on to Béthune."
Later that evening, Milady invited Madame Bonacieux to have supper with her in her room.
"The abbess said that the cardinal is sending a carriage for you," Madame Bonacieux said, looking worried.
"It isn't true, so you mustn't worry, my dear friend," replied Milady. "I'll tell you the truth, because I know that I can trust you. The man who came here was only pretending to be the cardinal's messenger. He's actually my brother, and he's going to help me escape. The carriage that's coming for me is his. And there's something else that I must tell you. My brother met some of the cardinal's men dressed as musketeers who are coming here for you. He's sure that D'Artagnan and his friends are still at La Rochelle. The letter that you have must be a trick."
"Oh, no! What should I do?" cried Madame Bonacieux.
"Come with me when my brother's carriage arrives," said Milady.
"But what if D'Artagnan does come for me?" said Madame Bonacieux.
"My brother's servant will come back to check," said Milady.
"Oh, how good you are, Lady de Winter! Thank you," said Madame Bonacieux.
Now let us eat supper, dearest, before the carriage arrives, said Milady. I'll pour you some wine. Milady had just picked up her own glass when she heard the sound of galloping horses. She ran to the window. If it's D'Artagnan, I must get away, she thought. It's either our friends or our enemies, she cried to Madame Bonacieux. Stay where you are and don't come to the window. I'll tell you what I see. When the riders came into view, Milady saw the cloaks and hats of four musketeers. It was D'Artagnan and his friends. It's the cardinal's guards, lied Milady. We must escape immediately. She looked at Madame Bonacieux, who was too frightened to move. They could hear the riders getting off their horses under the window. Milady quickly ran to the table. She pulled a ring off her finger, took out the stone, and dropped a little red pill from the ring into Madame Bonacieux's wine. Then she carried the glass to Madame Bonacieux and held it to her mouth. Drink this. It will make you stronger, she said. Madame Bonacieux obeyed, and Milady put the empty glass on the table with a horrible smile. That wasn't how I imagined taking my revenge on D'Artagnan, but it's better than nothing, she thought. Then she ran from the room, locking the door behind her. Madame Bonacieux watched her go, but could not get up from the floor. A few minutes later, Madame Bonacieux heard a loud knocking and someone calling her name.
D'Artagnan, she cried happily. Is it really you?
The next moment, four men had knocked down the door and run into the room.
Oh, dearest D'Artagnan, she whispered,
as he fell on his knees beside her.
You've come at last. She kept telling me that you wouldn't come, but in my heart, I knew that you would.
She? Who do you mean? Asked D'Artagnan quickly.
Lady de Winter, my good friend here,
Madame Bonacieux replied weakly.
She was trying to help me escape with her from the cardinal's men. She thought that you were them.
D'Artagnan went white and called out to his friends. Her hands are really cold and she's fainting. She's very ill. Porthos started shouting for help. Aramis ran to the table to fetch a glass of water, and Athos stared at the empty wine glass. No, no, it's too horrible, he thought. Whose glass is that? He asked.
It's mine, said Madame Bonacieux,
her voice growing weaker and weaker.
She gave it to me.
At that moment, her face turned grey, her eyes closed, and she fell to the floor. D'Artagnan took her lifeless body in his arms and gave the most terrible cry.